The programming on 88.1 FM is made possible in part by WWER Watts members, who show their support of community radio by donating online at wwer.org/membership. If you like our programming, please consider contributing to wwer.org/membership. Welcome to another edition of Town Matters on WWER. Once again on Town Matters this month, we're going to be talking to Mayor Robin Schick. Robin, welcome again.
Thank you for having me, Ted.
These regular Q&A sessions that we're doing have become a bit of a habit for us. I like to think that they're doing us some good and that people are finding out about what's going on and gives you a chance to explain the whys behind some of the things that are happening.
Yeah, I really look forward to it now as well. I had a little anxiety about being on the radio. I had to overcome that. If you've never been on the radio before, it might make you nervous. It did for me, but I'm starting to get used to it and I'm really enjoying it and glad to get more information out there to people.
And do you think that people are benefiting from it?
Yeah, I get comments back after every show. I've really been excited that people do tune in and hear about it. The last one we did about the wastewater treatment plant and the show from last month, I had somebody stop me at circa 1892. And
the year the town was founded.
I know. And then I said, I thought I might mess that up. Anyway, and so... yeah, they just stopped me while I was eating lunch and said, I heard you on the radio on my drive home from Fredericksburg and listened to the whole show. And I just thought that was really informative and I was really grateful to hear it. So
that's terrific. I mean, as the guy who goes to the effort of putting these shows together, it's nice to know that people are listening and appreciate them.
Yeah, no, and I hope more people tune in. I think also a lot of businesses have it on just in their daily day, and our town staff too. I know our public works, our guys at the treatment plant always have WWER on the loudspeaker. Yeah.
Well, that's nice to hear. That's really cool. Well, let's dive in here. Speaking of feedback, one of the questions that we were asked some time ago and we didn't get to was whether or not you see some of the negative comments that end up on social media, the feedback, and how you deal with that.
Yeah, I mean, there's always going to be negative commentary when you're involved in politics, I guess, especially locally. I try not to let the negative comments get to me, but rather take what I can from the negativity to make an impact, make a change. Sometimes it's just negative to be negative. And so for those kinds of comments, you have to let it roll off your back. My grandmother, who I was very, very close with, told me when I was running to be mayor that she wanted me to grow a turtle shell, a very hard turtle shell, and that I was going to need that. And she was right. I do need that. But so some of it, you just let it roll off and keep moving and stay focused on the bigger picture and stay positive. Ultimately, the most important position or part of being mayor is that you're advocating for your community, that you believe in your community, that you love your community. And so you can't let the negativity get in the way of that.
You know, when I talk to people who have some negative opinions about things, the one thing I say to them is that, you know, because sometimes people can come off saying, you know, oh, they're doing just what benefits them, you know, like the mayor is just doing what benefits her, or the town council, they're just in it for themselves or whatever. And I always counter that with my personal opinion that the people who do this, the people who get elected to these positions and don't get paid, truly have what they feel is the best interest of the town in their hearts, and they try to do what they feel is in the best interest of their hearts. You may not agree with it, but at least, you know, they are making an effort, and I don't believe it comes from some personal agenda to make themselves more money or whatever it is they might be after.
Yeah, I mean, I do definitely would also agree with your take on that. I mean, the people who are at the local level, and I'm talking about town council, school board, our planning commissions, and others, you know, the Parks and Rec commission. All of us, all these people are just local citizens trying to make a positive impact in the town. We're not really getting anything out of it. In fact, like the $150 a month that I get for being mayor does not cover the childcare that it takes to go to all the meetings, to participate, to spend the time on the job that it takes to do it. And I'm very passionate about my community. And so I put a lot of effort into it, way more than like I financially get back out of it, and certainly do not do it for that reason.
Yeah. So I always say to people, you know, look, you may disagree with what they've done, but don't think they have ulterior motives that are feeding that. Now, in terms of general communication with the town, some folks are giving feedback about the newsletters that are appearing in with the water bills as a way of communicating what town council is doing and what's going on. You want to elaborate on that a little bit?
Sure. This was an initiative that I started as pretty much as soon as I took office. The first newsletter came out that first quarter. It is included in the water sewer bill so that the town doesn't pay additional money for the postage of sending it out, because we have to do the billing cycle regardless. And we started it with just, you know, really me and maybe one other staff person pulling together council member 150 word blurbs that we could to try to get to people's doorstep. I had heard through campaign and throughout, you know, we talk about just feedback learning, and some of the negative feedback had been how they felt like their local government wasn't communicating enough with them. And so that's a big part of why we have a better website and why we're doing this radio show and why we have packets available and our agenda system is better. I mean, there's a lot of facets of trying to improve this communication piece. And the newsletter was one of those, that if we were mailing something to their doorstep anyway, why wouldn't we include more information about what was going on? Ultimately, the task got moved from me to our communications employee, who's Marissa, who works just very part-time for us, and the town manager. And they started doing a better job, really, than I could, and expanded on the newsletter and did see the value in communicating with people to their doorstep. So it's gotten more attention. It's gotten kind of revamped from what it originally started as, but it's been going on for about 3 years now that there's been a newsletter in the quarterly sewer water bill.
It's a fair bit flashier looking now, that's fair to say.
It is much nicer laid out and designed than when I was doing it myself.
And as a result of that, one of the negative comments that's actually come out on social media is, wait a minute, this multicolor flashy looking newsletter, how much is that costing the town to send out to me, and why is the town spending money on this? I guess you can't really do anything without somebody feeling like it's a bad idea, but a couple of pages of color printing probably don't amount to much.
So I think it's nice. It's catching people's attention. I've gotten a lot of positive comments about, wow, thank you for sending me, you know, that information, what's going on. We have residents who are homebound. We have residents who don't participate in some of the things that you might hear about some of these initiatives with, and can't come to council meetings. So from those people, I think they're grateful to have it. And a few people that say, you know, why is the town spending so much money on this? But it's, you know, we're really spending it, you know, a very little amount of money on it. But at the same time, trying to accomplish exactly what that complaint was about, communication and the town not communicating enough with their citizens. So,
I mean, the cost is minimal and the benefit is huge, I guess.
I would hope the benefit is huge. I think we should continue to do it. Help people see and show what's going on, and that there's nothing, you know, behind closed doors.
It helps you be transparent.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of ways, like I said, we're trying to get more information readily available out there, and this is just one of them.
Now, this newsletter is included with our water and sewer bill, and there's certainly been a lot of chatter about that, because a couple of different things have happened in relation to that. Let's start with the reallocation of some funds between water and sewer. You want to go into that a little bit? Because I know some people were confused by it. Some people felt like they didn't understand why it was happening. Maybe you can...
What was happening for many years now is that water was collecting more than it was spending, and sewer was not collecting enough for what it was spending. And at the end of the year, there would be a reallocation, like one budget amendment to correct or right that.
So what you're saying here is in the past, this would happen year in and year out.
Yes.
And the council at the end of the year would basically budget to reallocate funds to balance the books again.
Well, and you really, it's also just carryover, you know, like if water could carry over more, then it would have, it had a extra surplus in there, but sewer didn't have anything to carry over. And we need to have a carryover fund, especially in sewer, to deal with when we have maintenance issues. Nobody needed the sewer, water sewer bill to be raised, the actual like combined bill to be raised, but it was better to go ahead and initially bill correctly for how much the sewer budget needed and how much the water budget needed. And so now that has, it's getting corrected at the source, which is the billing process.
So going forward, on your itemized bill, you'll see a higher number for sewer and a lower number for water, but the final tally is still going to be that same total amount for water and sewer combined.
The amount of the combined amount of the utility bill for water and sewer is not changed.
And as a result, also, you're not going to have to do this reallocation at the end of the year, a special budget amendment.
Yeah, and there have to be two accounts. There has to be a water account and a separate sewer account, and those funds have to be separated because of state law. I think sometimes people think because it's billed together that those funds were pulled into the same account, and that's not true.
And then the other thing that was on our water and sewer bill that everybody is getting excited about, of course, is the addition of a fee, some people are calling a fee for the toters, but that's not entirely accurate to even call it that.
That's true. It is a trash utility fee. It is for the entire trash service to operate, not just for the physical trash can.
Right. It just happens to coincide with the delivery of the new toters. So everybody thinks, oh, now I'm paying, what is it,
$10 a month. It's billed quarterly, so it's
$30. $30 a quarter for a trash can. And one of the questions that got asked apparently is, so when that trash can is paid off at the end of a year or two or whatever, if it costs $200 at $30 a quarter or whatever, then does that fee go away? And the answer is, well, no, because it's not just for the toter. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, so it's for the entire trash program. So what was happening before is trash was being run through real estate tax revenue in the general fund, which is like kind of the full catch-all account for the town and all of its departments. And when the trash service had a breakdown, the truck had a breakdown, or we needed a new truck, it basically was an emergency funding issue and then was taking away from maintenance funds or other funds in public works.
That means if the trash truck broke down, it might mean that you couldn't patch a road that was designated to be repaired?
Yeah, and mostly, this is about all maintenance being deferred because nobody wants to raise taxes, right? So deferred maintenance over a long period of time like this means that you have catastrophic failures throughout. And when a catastrophic failure happened, there was just more deferred maintenance.
The so vicious cycle.
It is. It is. And we were financing trucks well past their lifespan, which means we're paying for the truck after we can't even use it anymore. That's not a good financial practice either. So a lot of this is just having good financial practices in town so that we have a sustainable future ahead of us to provide the service, to continue to provide trash service for town. Not all towns do that. Some towns go to private service, and it's and we certainly could have done that option instead. We can provide
just for a second, when you say private service, that means the town does not pick up your trash and you now have to pay somebody to do that yourself out of your own pocket, right?
Yes, that's correct. And there are many towns across the Commonwealth that have implemented that instead of holding on to the service as public service. So we decided not to do that, and we're keeping our guys and improving our equipment, including the cans, to provide a safer service. We also want to get all of our trash employees up to a livable wage. We're trying to get them to $15 an hour. So there's a lot of costs that are involved in the trash program. The physical toters are actually bought with ARPA funds. So your $10 a month is not paying for the toter as much as it's paying for maintenance. It's basically a maintenance fee to continue to provide service, trash service.
Will this $10 a month, $30 a quarter, will it pay for everything related to trash services? Will there be no tax money coming toward that?
That's a goal. The goal is to create an entirely unique utility fund.
So an independent service, if you will.
Right. But we need to make sure that it's solvent and sustainable before it actually physically operates that way. So this first year, it is still included in the general fund, but as a set-aside department. And then as it moves forward and is solvent, we have a five-year time frame on this program to ensure that it is indeed paying for itself appropriately.
Okay, so the goal is to do this for 5 years, but still use the general fund, put this money into the general fund, but account for it separately so that you know what's going in and what's going out, and whether or not you are sustainable, as you say, whether it could be independent. And then I guess at the end of that 5 years, hopefully assess that you've done it right and make it formally independent.
Yeah, I hope that we can get to independence prior to the 5 years, but we'll see. You know, I thought that was very smart of the staff to give it a 5 year time frame, and very reasonable as we start to separate this out.
You're listening to Town Matters on WWER. My name is Ted Tate, and I'm speaking with Mayor Robin Schick about a variety of topics of interest to folks in Colonial Beach. All of the development that's been going on in town, all of the growth that we're experiencing right now, that should be bringing in more tax revenue to help pay for some of these things. Is it?
That's a very good question. So it takes almost 2 years for new development to impact the town's budgeting. And the reason for that is that you start a new development, like say you start to build a new house, it takes 9 months for that house to actually get a certificate of occupancy. By that point, we have already budgeted for the next fiscal year. A reassessment has to happen on the property in order for it to get a higher tax bill with its improved value. That assessment has to be billed, and then that bill has to be paid. And we cannot budget on money we do not show to our auditors that we actually physically will get. We have to budget on actuals from the prior year. So we're not going to start to absorb that in the budgeting process moving forward until it's had a tax bill, it's been paying a tax bill, and I can prove that to an auditor, right?
Okay, but budgeting aside, the year before you do that budget, that money should be coming in the form of more taxes. You should be seeing more money coming in than you budgeted for.
Yes. And we've been seeing that in real estate. Yes. Every year it's been going up. We just can't anticipate the money. So we can't budget to spend that money even if we think it's going to happen, because we see building happening.
But the money is going into the bank account.
Right. Correct.
So at the end of the year, when you settle up the books, you should see a surplus.
And that can and has happened over, especially since 2020. There have been times where things happen, like emergency things happen, like the pier. You know, the town pier was really destroyed a year ago, and we had to spend $100,000 as an emergency.
So there goes the surplus.
Yeah. So, yeah, that happens quickly. But the more important part is that once it's part of the budgeting process, you get to budget it those funds out as an annual basis on reoccurring costs. But you can't anticipate that until you've shown that you have the money in place.
Okay, but we're on our way to having that happen. We are seeing benefits of the development. That's what I was curious about. In terms of what we will see from this new trash utility fee, aside from the toters themselves, most of this stuff is behind the scenes things, like giving the workers a living wage and making sure the trash truck is maintained properly. What things besides the toters will we see? Just a new trash truck maybe, right?
Yeah, so you'll see improvements of the equipment, but what you'll also see is the guys not physically picking up 100-pound cans anymore, or bag trash that's debris is sprayed all over the road because raccoons have gotten into it because they didn't put it in a can at all. The new cans are large and strong and can handle the kind of beating that a trash can takes in the trash program. But you will also be able to, if you have an existing toter, and the toter is a certain kind of trash can, you'll be able to either reuse that can in two ways. You can either donate it to the town, and the town will be able to use it if you don't need it anymore, and that's fine. Or you can voluntarily participate that can in our trash program as a secondary can. So everyone will have the Colonial Beach toter that you got delivered to your house. But then there is the possibility of having a second one that is one that you already had get tagged. And there are forms for both these programs, the donation program and the tagging program at Town Hall. And so you can fill them out at the finance desk and voluntarily participate your toter. This program for tagging toters, though, is only going to be in effect until October 31st. So if you do have a secondary toter to get tagged, please go to Town Hall before the end of October. And if you need to request a smaller toter, we do have 64-gallon sizes available as well. The one you got to your house by default is 96 gallons. So if you need a smaller toter, call Public Works and request that you get a smaller toter. They put you on a list at first because it is prioritized on need base. So if you're handicapped or the big toter is difficult for you to maneuver for some whatever reasons that you need it, just let them know what those reasons are, and they're going to prioritize them on a need-based program.
That's a good point, because one of the things we've seen on social media is some of our elderly residents saying, the thing's too big, I can't move it. I can't handle that.
Sure, and I have a neighbor who I'm helping them sign up for the 64-gallon toter, and I hope they get one because they really do need a smaller one to be able to handle down their driveway. She walks with a walker. And
so you were saying that this program for adding a second toter, if you've purchased one yourself, you already own one that's smaller and one that you can handle, as long as it can be picked up by the truck's hydraulic system, then you can sign your toter up into the town system. Do you have to do that? I mean, if I've got an extra can, I actually have to register it with the town? Is that what you're saying?
You do have to voluntarily participate your toter with the program.
So
you have to volunteer the toter into the program.
What if I don't? Will you not pick up my trash?
That's correct. But you can get it tagged up until October 31st. So it's a form you fill out and turn in. And then I believe that they'll ask you to like leave it by the road so they can tag it. You know, you don't have to bring the can. You just have to fill the form out.
If I have a town supplied toter that gets damaged, does the town replace it
Absolutely.
As part of the fee?
Correct.
Ah, so it's a rented toter, and you'll replace it when it needs to be replaced.
Yes, the toters stay with the property. So once a toter, even the existing toters, have been tagged, and you bring it back to that property address, it should stay at the property. If you move and sell your house, the tagged toter stays at the house.
It conveys with sale.
It does.
Robin, I know one of the other big changes that has happened recently, and we were talking about development and all of that, is fees for water and sewer hookups. You wanted to talk about that a little bit, you said.
The tap fees is the connection to water and sewer that a new development, somebody, a property who has never tapped into the system before, has to pay in order to connect.
Right. You bought a piece of land. It's got nothing on it. It doesn't ever have a house on it before. And now you want to build a house and hook it up to water, sewer, and electric and all the utilities.
That's correct. So when new development happens, there is a lot of that impacts, especially because we have aged infrastructure in town. And the connection fees, which were around $6,000, had not been increased in 20 years. The residential fee, and I'll just talk about residential because I I'm more familiar with it than the commercial side, is now $13,500 to connect to water and sewer. And it is broken down into three payments. The first is what's called an availability fee. The second is a water connection fee. And the third is a sewer connection fee. And the combined total of those is $13,500. And the availability fee portion of it pays not just for locating where the water and sewer connection will be as you develop, but also the size of the pipe, where's the directional flow, and how does it connect into the rest of the system, and what is the ultimate impact into the rest of the system for having that additional development. I'm glad that we finally were able to do this. I think there's some question about this availability fee portion of it, but I'd like to look at it better that the whole thing is $13,500 and that it's just in three installments rather than, you know, focusing on just one aspect of it, because I do think the $13,500 is the cost of the impact of that new connection.
I have seen on social media that initial fee you were talking about mm-hmm. referred to as, you know, a $5,000 fee just to come and look at it.
Yeah.
And that's certainly oversimplifying it, because sure. as you say, you know, you get enough new connections, say on a particular street, and maybe you have to make the sewer pipe bigger on that street to accommodate the fact that you now have 20 new connections where you only had 10 before or something like that. You know, eventually at some point there's a tipping point where you have to increase the capacity of the overall infrastructure, not just that one house.
That happened not too long ago on First Street. So obviously there's water and sewer along First Street. Nobody would doubt or question that. Additional residences were built along First Street with the assumption, without an availability fee that really looked into the impact on the infrastructure. Several new connections were made on First Street, and we found out that the water pressure was inadequate. We had to upsize the water line on, you know, a block and a half of First Street. And, you know, and that's because we didn't have the tools in place to plan appropriately for it. And we're really working on this GIS data and better preparation for the impact of this development. And even though First Street, of course, has water and sewer on it, there's a school on it. I mean, obviously it has the infrastructure there, but the tie into the line, I mean, was really inadequate for additional development. So even if it's on a block where you think, oh, they have to, I saw that too, where you just have to ride down and see it, duh, you know, kind of concept, it's not always so obvious, really.
Robin, we've covered a lot of different things. Is there anything before we go, we're running out of time, that you wanted to cover that we didn't get to, or any last thoughts?
So I just went to see the play Four Old Broads at the Colonial Beach Playhouse last night on Hawthorne Street downtown, and it was directed by Cher Lee and produced by Bob Christensen. And I just want to give a shout out to all of the actors, all of the people behind the scenes, all of the costume people. I know a lot of that, if not all of it, is volunteer-based, and they are trying to fundraise for seating. So if you could help them in any way, get some actual theater seats in there, I think they would really appreciate it. But just a shout out to them and that group. The play brightened my whole weekend. It was absolutely left me in stitches, laughing the whole time. And I just really enjoy that playhouse. And I know they have Christmas special coming up, and I think everybody should just go and check it out.
I do know they get sold out for most of the things they do, so I think a lot of people share your joy of going to the Playhouse.
The people that were next to me had drove here from Fredericksburg.
Wow.
To come see that play. The people behind me were from King George.
Nice.
And it was really nice, and I thought, you came from Fredericksburg? But they did, and they loved it, and they just thought it was so authentic, as is a lot of the wonderful activities we have in Clinton Beach.
Great. Great. Nice to hear. Mayor Robinchik, once again, thank you so much for coming to Town Matters on 88.1 FM.
It's my pleasure. See you soon.
If you enjoy the programming on WWER, please consider making a donation. You can find out more at wwer.org/membership.